go to the activity at the back, and the rest of us are going to be looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And today is our gift day. We've been building up to it for a number of weeks, but this is the final time of looking at the Bible on the topic of giving. We have one gift day per year, so we'll be moving on to other things. And if you're a visitor with us this morning, please don't feel that we're always talking about money. This is a one-off. We had a sermon last week. And please feel very welcome. We're really not wanting you to feel that we're after your money. You're a guest here with us as a visitor. And also, if you're a regular here, we come to this kind of topic, don't we, with all kinds of nervousness culturally, in terms of hearing about giving. And there should be some slides coming up, the first slide. So please don't feel, if you're a visitor here, that we're going to sort of make sure we get your money off you before you leave. And if you're a major donor here, please feel that you are valued far more than just your money. We're a family here, under God's grace. But let's just pray, shall we, as we come to this passage, that God will speak to us through the reading of his word and the preaching of it. So let's just pray together. Father, we thank you and praise you so much that you are a God of grace, a God of generous kindness to us in your Son, the Lord Jesus. And we pray, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts. Thank you that we don't have to drum up generosity by our bootstrings. Thank you that you work in our hearts by your Spirit because of Jesus. And we pray that you would do that this morning. Help me to speak. Help us all to hear for the glory of your Son, we pray. Amen. Well, if we go on to our next slide, which gives us the two points that we're going to be thinking about this morning. Because it's worth learning about what God says about money in the Bible, even if we're just a visitor here this morning. See, money is not evil, but the love of it can be. That's what the Bible teaches. Eagerness for money, eagerness for wealth, can lead people into ruin and destruction. Money can draw our hearts towards it. And Jesus told his followers that his followers are to store up treasures in heaven, because Christians can know they are going to heaven. And we might say, if we're just visiting this morning, well, how can a Christian know for sure that they're going to go to heaven? Well, last week in chapter 8, we saw a verse which really helpfully sums this up. So look with me to chapter 8, verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. See, the Christian good news is that Jesus left the wealth of heavenly glory, became a man, born in a stable, died on a cross, so that people like you and me can know for sure that we are headed for heavenly glory, the wealth of heaven. See, he paid our debt on the cross. One of my favourite films is A River Runs Through It. I'm sorry if I've said this before, but I do really enjoy it. It's with Brad Pitt. But mainly because it's about fly fishing. It's a film about fly fishing, and it's the story of two brothers, one of whom is stable and hardworking, always does the right thing, and the other who indulges in wild living, gambling. You might guess that that's the character that Brad Pitt plays. And because his gambling gets him into such debt with such powerful people, he gets into great danger. And his upright brother comes to him and says, look, I can help. Let me pay your debt. And his brother says, it's my debt. I'll pay. It's my debt. And he's found dead the next day. And if that helps us understand, it's as if the Lord Jesus Christ, our brother, comes to us and says, let me pay. Let me pay your debt for all the foul things that come from your heart, for all the bad things that you have done in your life, for all the good things that you haven't done. Because you're in debt. Let me pay by dying on the cross the infinite debt of hell that you deserve. That's the good news of God's grace. Jesus came into the world to pay our debt. And I just want to ask us all a question this morning. Have you said to Jesus, thank you? Thank you for paying my debt. Oh, please pay my debt. I can't pay it myself. Or are you still saying to God, it's my debt. I'll pay. Well, can I urge you to accept the debt being paid by Jesus rather than facing the debt yourself? Now, that's just by way of introduction, particularly for those of us who are just visitors here this morning. And now I want to read chapter 9, verses 6 to 15, which is where we'll be really considering. So read with me, along with me, chapter 9, verse 6. Remember this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work, as it is written, he has scattered abroad his gifts to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. Now, he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, men will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ, and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, let's look at this word from our Lord together, shall we? See, I wonder if we look at verse 7, each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And we find ourselves, me included, thinking a little bit like that little girl who could only cheerfully give 1p. Well, Paul teaches two amazing things in this passage, which I believe are there to stimulate our hearts to give generously and joyfully. And the first thing Paul teaches is this: giving is supplied by the grace of God. Giving is supplied by the grace of God. In other words, it's not only our cheerfulness about giving that is to be the motivation. Have a look at verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. That's pretty all-encompassing, isn't it? All times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. See, God is able to give to you, Paul is saying to the Corinthians, so that you can always give, at all times, abounding in every good work. And then he quotes from the Old Testament about the righteous man who scatters gifts to the poor. So this grace that Paul is talking about is not a spiritual, airy-fairy kind of grace. It's a grace that leads to gifts that feed people. Physical things. Money. And what he's trying to encourage the Corinthian church, as God speaks through his word now to us, is that we're to think of God's grace like a spring, not a bucket. You know, if there's some water in a bucket, we're sort of thinking, well, how much is left? Or a pot of money in the bank, how much is left? No. God's grace is like a spring, always giving, all the time. Unlimited resources. He says the same kind of thing in verse 10. But I don't think this is how we think about money, is it? We don't think of giving like sowing. We think of giving like buying what we often get back from our money. But this is not the way that Paul encourages us to think. Verse 10, now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. This is almost unbelievable, isn't it? Could God really be like this when it comes to money and energy and resources? Isn't God's grace more of a sort of spiritual salvation kind of thing? Rather than a what I've got in my bank balance kind of thing? Well, we need to balance this with other truths, don't we, in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. Paul is not encouraging people to give beyond their means, nor to give beyond what we're willing to give. He wants us to be joyful and cheerful in our giving, but to grasp something of the generosity of God in the future. Have a look again at verse 8. God is able to make all grace abound to you so that what? You will abound in every good work. Or verse 11. You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And Christians have often learned that this is true in their lives as they commit themselves from the heart towards a life of generosity. James L. Kraft of Kraft Foods. I didn't know that this was a Christian company. You always find out these Christian companies, don't you? Like the Guinness company. But James L. Kraft said this: the only investment I have ever made which has paid consistently increasing dividends is the money I've given to the Lord. Or John Wesley, whose leadership of Methodism transformed our nation in so many ways, said this: earn as much as you can, save as much as you can, invest as much as you can, give as much as you can. Or St. John Templeton, who is now a foundation which funds the interplay between science and faith, said this: I have observed 100,000 families over my years of investment counselling. I always saw greater prosperity and happiness amongst those families who tithed, that's to give 10% to the Lord's work, than among those who didn't. Now, before we run away with that 10%, that is not a New Testament law. But it's a helpful guide as to the generosity of the Old Testament people of God. It's a helpful guide for the New Testament people of God to grow in generosity. It's not a law, but it's a guide. See, giving is supplied by the grace of God. And is the grace of God a generous, always giving kind of thing, like a spring? Or is it something that will run out like a bucket? Giving is supplied by the grace of God. And this can enable us to give cheerfully and generously. I found it really encouraging as I consider what to give. And to be honest, I'm feeling a bit reluctant, or I was a few days ago, having prepared this, to find my heart being changed. And I hope you enjoy the same encouragement. Because if we have confidence in God's grace in the future, well, then it means we can let go of the money that we have now, knowing that he will give generously to us. But then secondly, and far more briefly, giving is and issues in thanksgiving for the grace of God. That's a bit clumsy as a point, isn't it? But I think it reflects what the passage says, so come with me. You'll be made rich in every way, verse 11. Now, we may have heard people say that as if that relates to our personal wealth. It's called the health wealth gospel. And they quote this verse saying, if you want that Lamborghini, you just name it and claim it. You want that mansion, God will make you wealthy. Because it says here, you'll be made rich in every way. Well, it does, but they don't read on. Why is there a promise here to be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion? We're not to discount this promise because people twist it and make it self-centered. We're to believe this promise because God wants us to become a generous people. Why? And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. A generous people bring thanksgiving to God. Because people know that such generosity is not a natural thing. It's a God-worked kind of thing. And it is thanksgiving. Verse 12, this service that you perform, the offering that the Corinthians were being encouraged to take to the poor Christians in Jerusalem, this service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. How do we say thank you to God? In an overflowing kind of way, we give money to his work. And it's not only that. Verse 13, because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, men will do what? Praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. See, when people see the generosity of Christians mastered by God's grace, they know where it's come from and they praise God. And the giving of that Corinthian gift has a spiritual impact, Paul anticipates, in Jerusalem. Verse 14, in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Can you see how Paul is using the grace word and their generosity financially almost interchangeably? Knowledge of God's grace leads to good works and people hearing the good news. And he concludes, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. So as I close, just a question and a final slide. I've nicked this from another church, their gift day, another Bible teaching church. And just to leave us with a question, really. Do we want to deepen in our understanding of God's grace? One of the ways that we deepen in our understanding of God's grace in the real world is growing in our generosity. That isn't a law. We may already be giving 10%. But God may want us to grow in our generosity. We may have virtually nothing to give because we're under such debt and financial stress that even just giving £1 a week is growing in generosity. There's no law. But we should want to grow in the generosity that we know through the indescribable gift given to us, who is the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's pray together as we consider these things. Let's just pray. Father, we do thank you for your grace. We thank you that giving is motivated by grace. But we thank you that also it is your grace that supplies us with all that is needed to be generous. Lord, we pray that you'd help us to believe this, but also to grow in it. Lord, we thank you and praise you so much that we can see the reality of your grace at work in our lives in such simple things as how we use our money for you. And we pray that you would address our hearts, each of our hearts here, that we might grow in that generosity, which is like your generosity. And we pray this for Jesus' sake. Amen.
John, thank you very much. If we could take up our hymn books, we're going to be singing hymn number 1209 in response to God's word. My heart is filled with thankfulness. During this hymn, if the children can return to their parents, we're going to stand together and sing 1209. It's on the screen as well. There we go. My heart is filled with thankfulness.